Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Eleanor Romanian churches file for an emergency injunction, and the Court of Appeals has expedited the ruling. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, we represent two Romanian churches in Chicago. These churches are Elim Romanian Pentecostal Church and Logos Baptist Ministries. These pastors have a unique history, Holly, because they come from the former communist Romania, which was their homeland, and now this is their adopted home, the land of the free, America. They love America. They love freedom. They never thought that in America they would face the potential of arrest and other police harassment and government restrictions for having a church service. And that's what they faced in communist Romania. People were routinely arrested if the pastors preached off the approved communist script.
As well as many of the people that attend the churches also came from Romania and were oppressed by that heavy hand over there.
That's right. Many of them are from Romania, where the first day of freedom, and that's also the same for our chief litigation counsel, Harry Mehet. Mm-hmm. And Horatio is his official name, but Harry is what he goes by, and Horatio Mehet is Romanian. Mm-hmm. He's an American citizen, but he was born in Romania, and as a 12-year-old boy, December 25, 1989, was his first day of freedom.
Right. I mean, his father was a pastor, was arrested several times for sharing the gospel. They had the police, you know, come into their home in the middle of the night looking for Bibles, which considered illegal over there. So they understand what it means to have freedom and not to have freedom.
Yeah, they understand, and so they always look to America because that was the— That was like the pinnacle of freedom. Churches were full, and you could go to church freely, and they wanted to leave Romania to come to America.
And now this.
And now they're here, and they have these churches. And so in Chicago and in the state of Illinois, particularly the state of Illinois, the governor, J.B. Pritzker, he's part of the family that owns lots of corporations. He's the wealthiest governor in the history of America, $3.4 billion in net worth. And he is the governor of Illinois. In fact, his wife has been vacationing in Palm Beach at one of their mansions down there instead of staying in Illinois.
Interesting.
Doesn't want to live under the restrictions there. She's more happy down in Florida where there's less restrictions. At any rate, his restrictions regarding churches say no more than 10 people, but you can have all kinds of people way beyond that in the various commercial and non-religious entities, such as the super centers, the box centers, the grocery stores, the liquor stores, and you name it, lots of different venues can have lots of people. The parking lots can be jammed, but not for churches. And then he says, and if churches are ever going to get beyond 50 people, it's going to take at least 12 to 18 months, and that's only going to happen when they have additional contact tracing, testing, and vaccinations available. And that depends upon whether there's going to be a vaccination that is created and readily available. So you're going to be last on the list, churches. You're not essential, and you're going to be last. And we're treating you as second-class citizens. And so the Romanian churches, like lots of pastors and churches, they went along with it for some time. They wanted to be good citizens. And people, they were not sure about the whole issue with the virus, and it was originally presented as not going to be taking very long. And then it just drug on. And so they ended up writing a letter to the governor saying that they were going to start opening, and they did. And they opened, and they have amazing model of social distancing, taping off different pews and so forth, and having sanitizing efforts and health and hygiene efforts. And then what happened is we filed a federal lawsuit, and that federal lawsuit was denied by the lower judge. And then we appealed it to the Court of Appeals, the Seventh Circuit that sits in Chicago. It governs several surrounding states in addition to Illinois. And that court did not grant an injunction pending appeal, but they expedited the appeal very, very quick. Instead of taking months or even over a year to complete an appeal, they've already set the oral argument and all the briefing. In fact, our brief was due last week, Friday, and then on June the 1st, the other side's brief is due, and then we have a very short window for a reply, and oral argument's already been set. So this is like really, really, really fast in terms of getting the entire appeal completed. So on the one hand, we would like to have an injunction pending appeal, but on the other hand, this completes the appeal process very quickly. And here's the thing, Holly. If we win at the Court of Appeals, that's great. That's an amazing win. Mm-hmm. If we lose, on the other hand, that sets up a conflict with the other win that we got at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And that conflict, because we won two decisions in the Sixth Circuit, if we were to lose in the Seventh Circuit, that automatically triggers the possibility, a very strong possibility, that Supreme Court will take a case like that.
That's exciting. But you know, this governor, I think he enjoys this control over the churches a little too much. And as you said, you know, they tried to comply, but you can't just shut them down. And you can't have a template on every church. I mean, granted, these churches are 40,000 square foot and the other one is 36,000 square feet. So to only allow 10 people in those buildings, that's absurd.
Yeah, there's no one size fits all. There's no one template that fits everything. And so when you say 10 people, that's all you can have, 10 people, that is irrespective of whether you have a church that seats 50 people or 5,000 people. In this particular case, Elam Church has 750 seats in the main auditorium and an additional 550 seats in overflow rooms for 1,300 total seats. But they can only have 10 people.
But I mean, they brought in a professional company that sanitized before the service. Like you said, they taped off the seats. They had gloves. They had all this extraordinary safety precautions in place.
Yeah, and so the 10-person limit is just absurd.
It's nuts.
It's absurd. Yeah. I mean, they don't do that for any of the. If they were to do that to Home Depot, you can only have 10 people in there at a time, or Walmart or Kmart.
That'd be just employees. Yeah.
And the 10 people is including your staff.
Right. Your choir, your pastors, everybody.
Yeah. So the pastor and his wife, and now maybe you have 8 other people. Who are you going to have?
That's so impressive.
So you end up having just a handful of people. So it just makes no sense that you can have only 10 people in a church that seats 1,300 people. And in Logos, they seat 425 people in the main auditorium. And they have 100 seats available in overflow, so 525 people. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you seat only 50 or 5,000. It's 10 people. So we ended up filing a federal lawsuit, and that case is moving very quickly through the Federal Court of Appeals. It's at the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. Now, they're doing a lot of pushback here against these churches, Holly, to try to stop them. But these are pastors, again, and people that have lived under repressive communist regimes. I feel sorry. It's almost, I feel like we need to apologize.
Right. It's shameful.
To these people that have come here to America, and they fled communism. And that's where they've gotten arrested for being Christians. Harry, for example, when he was in communist Romania, school started on Sunday rather than Monday. And they started on Sunday so that they could interfere with church services. Mm-hmm. Well, what they were called Sunday keepers, the Christians, they would, some of them would just comply because otherwise they'd get in trouble or they'd miss a day of school every week. But Harry and his family, they didn't. And so they would go to church on Sunday. And their first day at school would be the second day of the school on Monday. And when they would go to school on Monday, he and the other Sunday keepers, as they called them, would be put in the middle of a circle, and the kids would surround them with the teachers, and they would mock them as Sunday keepers. This is where he grew up. And and there's so many other things, other stories we can tell you. Some of the pastors in this country still have the lash scars, the whipping scars, the lacerations on their back when they were beaten and tortured. And they came to America. They should never face anything like this, where they're being threatened with arrest and they're being intimidated by the Chicago thuggeries. And that's just simply because they want to have church. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, pray for us, because this is just one of our many cases where we're talking to pastors and representing them in court all over America. LC.org, LC.org. Pray for our team, pray for our churches. You can also visit reopenchurch.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.